it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you. Hope you're having an awesome start to your day. JoJo, what's up?
You know, as I say every morning, 9 o'clock comes around the same time every day, and I'm never quite prepared. So, all right, I'm here now. Things are good. What's up, man?
But you've been doing so much show prep. And, you know, our pre-show meeting was great.
Our pre-show meeting ran into Robbie and Rex Road's pre-show meeting, so that's just crazy.
I mean, the joke you told, I mean, Dr. Crane spit milk out of
his mouth. Oh, man, glad HR wasn't around for that one.
It's a big old knee slapper.
It was. Big old knee slapper for sure. What's up, Dr. Crane? How are you?
You know, I'm going. Let's put it there. Last night was a rough one. Had to put an oven door on. Took about an hour and a half. Had a few neighbors come over. It was...
Wait. What? Huh?
So, the oven door, there was something that fell inside the oven door where the glass is. So, you got to clean it out. So, you got to take it off the hinges.
Okay.
So, when you take it off the hinges, they're like these latches. And so, the latches kept like clicking and they weren't fully out. So, you have to put it at a 45-degree angle. And when you put it in, it would click. So you had to like open the clip, make sure it was at the angle, put it in, clip it back so it'll lock, and then put it in. So it took an hour and a half.
Okay, so
there's a lot to unpack here.
A couple things. If you're out there in radio land and you need somebody to fix or clean, fix your oven door?
Both, fix or clean.
Okay, yeah, give Dr. Crane a call.
I wouldn't
recommend. Were you by yourself in this endeavor?
No, I was not. Okay. I had the whole neighborhood just about. So, yeah.
What fell?
Nothing fell. It was more of food got in the like crevices in between the I guess the glass and the metal. So if you would open the door, you would see like whatever was being baked in the oven in the glass. So you don't want that when people come by. Like, oh, this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I figured out who you are. You're Dexter. You're the TV show Dexter. That's what you are.
Well, I don't know if that's a good thing.
Attention to detail, and then at nighttime, it's something else.
Well,
I feel like every time I ask you, like, hey, Dr. Crane, how's it going? You always have a wild adventure that has happened
life,
the night before.
Life is like a playground. We are on the swing set right now going back and forth.
Is that what it is?
That's exactly what it is.
Hey, didn't Jimmy Buffett have a song, Life is a Tire Swing?
Maybe he did. He had 1,000 songs. So I only listened to the same 18 over and over again, as we did in Florida.
As we did in Florida.
back and back.
We got a big one planned today, a big show. Delanie Walker, former Titans tight end, going to join us at 10:15. Really looking forward to that conversation. Obviously get his thoughts on the current team, Mike Vrabel, Derrick Henry, and the passing of Frank Wycheck as well. Because I know they had obviously spent some time together. And really, I mean, you think about tight ends in this organization as the Titans, those are the two that are at the top of everybody's list.
Absolutely they are, yeah. And so,
still looking forward to that.
You know, he came over here, and Delanie, you know, from the 49ers and gave everything he had for a few years with the Titans on some really bad, really bad Titans football teams, and the guy just gave everything all the time. So it'll be good to catch up with him.
Also, Greg Wyshynski going to join us before that at 9:30. What's funny about Frank and Delanie is they're both similar in that they were with other teams and weren't really used much. And, you know, like Delanie was on the 49ers and, you know, wasn't really used much and then comes here and breaks out. And Frank was on the Redskins, comes here, breaks out. Just had that similar story.
Hey, you know what? Get the second chance. All these guys want are chances. And so he was with the 49ers for 7 years, made the Super Bowl with them in 2012, and they came over here as with the Titans also for 7 years. So, yeah, it's Frank and then Delanie as far as, you know, the tight ends in this – since they moved here in 99.
You can always interact with us on our phone and text line at 615-737-1025. Driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. Dr. Crane's cleaning service is taking appointments now. Book your home cleaning today. That's from Chris.
Yeah. Oven cleaning at its finest. Read the reviews. He'll not only will he clean your oven, but he'll have a nice conversation with you.
That is correct. You know,
he's a friendly fellow.
With the holiday season around, you may get some Italian cooking involved. You never
oh,
know.
Oh, nice. We need to come up with a name.
We like that.
Can we get a name
can
for
you
Dr. Crane?
Hey, can you cook something for lunch so Rex Road and Robbie will shut up about their damn lunch?
Sure.
That'd be great. And Keezer, who worked his way into that somehow and did absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I could do that. We could go we could go pasta. We could do fettuccine, pasta fazool.
Okay.
We could do some lasagna.
Just make it, and we'll say that we picked it up from Fazoli's, and they can
we'll be
shut up
like
and
that.
Say that they're – or Maggiano's.
Let's
or
say Carrabba's.
Do you know
more fancier.
Do you know how to make Soylent Green?
Come again?
Soylent Green. If you could make Soylent Green, we could serve that to him.
I've never heard of Soylent Green.
Well, please Google later on, then you'll have a nice little hearty laugh.
Okay.
Should he Google that at work? Or?
Yes. Oh, yeah. it's a movie with Charlton Heston in the 70s where they run out of food and they start eating people.
Oh.
And they call it Soylent Green. It's a fascinating movie. You should. It's if you've never seen it.
Did not go where I thought it was
going to
go.
If you've never seen it, my young folks in here, if you've never seen it, you need to watch it because it's pretty funny.
Okay.
Not funny. It's just like funny like how this could end up happening one day to us. So what we need now, we need a name for Dr. Crane's oven cleaning service.
Oh, well, maybe that's it. Dr. Crane's oven cleaning service.
Something better like bun in the oven or, you know, something, something better than that. We'll figure it out on the show today. By the way, because we're promoting this, we get a third of your business profits.
Yeah, we're your agent. So
that's fine.
We get something for it.
Willie said the same thing about Tyson Berry and I looking alike. He said, I'm his agent. So I was like, all right.
There you go. So the Texans come into town this weekend. The Titans will once again be in the Oilers uniforms, which I think is appropriate. Billy White Shoes Johnson going in the Ring of Honor. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Probably should have been a long time ago. I mean, the guy was pop culture football back before pop culture football. I mean, we all emulated. Every kid emulated Billy White Shoes Johnson in the backyard. All of us did.
The Funky Chicken?
All of us did. Every one of us. If you score a touchdown, you would do them. That was an amazing celebration, touchdown dance, celebratory, whatever. It's touchdown dance in the end zone. It's good. Now, you know, I know Vrabel hinted about going to wear a cowboy hat to the game, but, I mean, just to do it. He would endear himself so much to everybody if he came out looking like Bum Phillips.
Well, he was asked about that yesterday, which was pretty funny. And like you said, he was pretty much saying that he would wear it to the game, maybe not wear it on the sideline. And then Jim Wyatt tweeted out a picture that somebody put together of Vrabel in the 10-gallon hat or whatever.
Yeah, right?
Like Bum Phillips. Do we have that? Do we have that? Okay, this was yesterday.
Phillips style cowboy hat.
I don't know. I probably got caught up in the moment.
You voted in favor.
You voted. How about I just wear one to the game?
Will you do that?
I'll wear one to the game on that little walk-up where Teron takes all the pictures.
You already have one picked out?
No, I don't. No. I need
shopping
one.
Spree?
Oh, yes. But I don't pay attention to any writers or reporters or what they got to say or their tweets. Oh, thank you.
Oh, that's good. I think this could be our question of the day because people are texting in about Dr. Crane's cleaning service.
Yeah, what we got?
Of course, Josh and Burns, it's like, it's people. Shouldn't green is people.
That's right. That's from the movie.
Michael and Madison, Triple C, Crane's Cleaning and Cooking Service.
Yeah! I love it.
8586, Between Two Pains Cleaning Service.
That's a good one.
Daryl, Oven Lovin'.
Oh, these are fantastic. Oh, my goodness.
1589 goes, I don't think Big Joe knows what bun in the oven means.
Oh, yeah, I do. I've had two, so trust me, I know. Oh, Oven Lovin's good, man. That's really good. These are all good, but that stands out.
Crazy Crane's Cooking and Cleaning Service.
Yeah, I like
it. These are rolling in.
1761. And what?
Don't read it as it is. No, don't.
I don't know what he's doing. Roberts. Yeah, talking about Billy White Shoes Johnson. It was a TD dance that every white kid could do.
Yes, that is so true. Oh, yeah. That's so true.
Well, and I like that Nick Westbrook Akina did it when he scored when they wore the Oilers uniforms against the Falcons. He did the funky chicken because White Shoes was there. White Shoes was the guy they brought out for the fourth quarter. And this weekend, I believe it's going to be number 87, Kevin Dyson.
Oh, is that
the legend of the game?
Comes out. What game was it I went to? The Bengals game?
I think that's fitting. The Music City Miracle can honor 89.
Okay.
I like that.
What game was it? Bullock that came out of the honor and he was talking just smack to the Bengals in the end zone. It was so great.
And he was shout out to my boy Vrabes.
Don't read one. I think 1761 needs to hit the Mike Munchak. We call that the block. That's just weird.
He's been.
There's some weird responses.
I know.
Weird. Just don't contemplate it. Just do that. Move it on.
I don't know. You got our attention. There you go.
Good loud.
Chris says, I just saved your show. You're welcome. Did it need saving? But thank you, Chris.
Yeah,
you gave us a good topic. That's for sure. 615-737-1025. We'll have Greg Wyshynski coming up at the bottom of the hour, and also Delaney Walker joining us at 10:15. We'll continue the Titans discussion next. 1025, 1063, the game.
He's healthy. I saw you try to get him involved early last week, but, I mean, is there something that could be done to get him just more in the flow of the game?
I mean, it's just sometimes that the ball, got to be able to find you. I mean, he was running. I mean, he created Hop's explosive game there at the end. I mean, he's rolling through there, and, if they come off of him and they take Hop, then, I know that Will's going to let that ball go. And so, I think there's some of those things that don't lead to catches, but that are still making the play. It's like defensive linemen. You can make the play without making a tackle. And, I know that doesn't sound great for a receiver, but, a big guy that's rolling through, the middle of the field that's taking coverage with them, that's creating, Hop, who is our most targeted player, allow him to be wide open. That's a big factor in why that play was successful.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday on Treylon Burks and getting him more involved. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio, and our show presented by Regal Realty Group. So I heard the discussion that Caroline Willie and D-Mace were having yesterday, and Derek had tweeted about it Monday night that, he kind of felt like they were putting Treylon Burks out there more as a decoy with the routes that he was running, that they weren't trying to get him the ball, and that they need to get him the football more. And then you hear Vrabel's comments there, and it kind of confirmed that, in my opinion, that he was doing things on plays that were getting other guys open, but it does feel like they're not targeting him quite as much as maybe you would expect them to as a first round pick. But here's my thing, Joe, and you and I've discussed this, that I'm not going to call him a bust necessarily, but he's not living up to the first round selection,
even close.
And so they've given him opportunities to make big plays, he drops the football, and he can't stay on the field, he gets hurt. So, even if they are using him as a decoy, why would you go away from DeAndre Hopkins, especially because the chemistry that Will Levis and DeAndre Hopkins has developed is obviously being productive.
Well, not only that, but you think the Texans are scared of Treylon Burks?
No.
I mean, if you run him a decoy, just put a single coverage on him and let him do his thing and run out over there. I would not be worried about Burks at all. It was a hurried, quick pick after they traded A.J. Brown because they needed to get somebody in there. And it was bad. It's just a bad pick. It's just, why can't we admit it was a bad pick? Are we so afraid to say it was a bad pick?
I mean, it was a bad pick.
Yeah, it was a bad pick. He's not anywhere near what a first round. Look, he could be compared. He's a first round pick.
Do you think he's a bust? Where are you going to put bust next to his name?
Not until he's gone. If he's gone on the team, then he's a bust. I mean, there's always a chance he can come out this weekend and have a great. And, I would love for him to go out and have a great game this weekend. And these last four games play out.
He was targeted three times Monday night and had the one catch for 1 yard.
Hey, that's one more yard than I had.
Well, that's true.
But I would not – he'll always be compared as a first-rounder because he was taken in the first round. Unfortunately, always be compared to A.J. Brown. That's just what's going to happen. He's nowhere near A.J. Brown talent-wise. He's not good on that level. He doesn't put fear in anybody. So, yeah, there's a few catches he's made along the way, which are great. But you want to see that over and over and over again, such as DeAndre Hopkins. You're not seeing that from Burks at all. So, and to tell me that if they've put him in their game plan at all, the Titans, no, they're not allowing for anything.
Because you know why? I don't think they trust him.
No, not at all.
And they shouldn't. I mean, he's going to have to earn that trust. Dylan just sent this in. This stat is telling. Treylon Burks receiving this season, 9 receptions, 123 yards, no touchdowns. Derrick Henry receiving this season, 23 receptions, 202 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, well, there we go. Yeah.
I mean, they're trusting the running back to catch the football more than they are him.
Yeah. So he's not part of the plan. I think going forward, they're like, all right, we're going to see what we can use out of him and get the rest of this and go forward with it. But he's nothing that puts scare or fear in any other team at all. Zero.
Yeah. What? Andrew says, Chase, I'm worried we might lose you to the Hallmark Channel. Your voice is getting me in the Christmas spirit. Well, why?
I don't know. That is something.
Is that a good thing?
4-3-6-6 and AJ had to develop also. Incorrect. AJ hit the ground running in 2019. Remember that game against the Falcons when Mariota and him just kind of lit up the Falcons?
Yep.
AJ hit the ground running over here. He did not have to be – I'm not going to say babied is the word, but A.J. came in on a mission, and Treylon Burks did not come on a mission. He had the asthma problems and then everything else that kind of went with it, and it's night and day. I mean, A.J. is so much better than him.
Something that I learned very early on working with D-Mace was the term dog, that he's got dog in him, and it's not D-O-G, but he's got dog. Like, he's got that just that something that you can't teach, that – they're going to go out there and go the extra mile and make the play. I think we knew early on A.J. Brown had dog in him. Like, he was going to go out there and he was going to outwork you and he was going to get the football and he was going to make a play for his team. I don't know if I can say that about Treylon Burks.
No.
And here's the thing about having dog in it. You can't teach it. You either have it or you don't. And so I kind of feel like with Burks that – there are certainly signs that say that he doesn't have it. Now, I thought it was interesting that Derek was kind of defending him yesterday about, and do we have some of that? This was a little bit of what Derek was saying about Burks yesterday.
You're losing your mind over here listening to Mike Vrabel.
It's just like, man, come on. Be real with them. I mean, as real as you possibly can, I guess. Let me just say that. Because that's what they are. It's like, oh, we don't design plays. But then he had to stop himself. He stopped himself. He was like, we don't design plays for – did he start – because, damn it, you do. You design plays for D-Hop, which D-Hop deserves. The guy is going to walk into the Hall of Fame at least 5 or 6 years after he retired, because you get 5 years before you get nominated. So you design plays for him? Vrabel even said it. He's the most targeted guy on our team. So we got to do things to get the most targeted guy on our team open. Damn it, why you can't do that for Treylon Burks? See, that stuff don't fly with players. You can tell media guys that, but that stuff don't fly with players. Oh, let me show film of him clearing it out. Yes, I understand that. Yes, everybody has a job to do. I get it. But every time I go out there, it can't be that same job.
That was D-Mace yesterday. And look, you guys know I love D-Mace and have a lot of respect for him, but I disagree with him. Like, they're not designing plays for – and I mean, I agree with them that, yes, they design plays for certain players. I think we all know that, you're going to play to a guy's strength. But I they're not involving Treylon Burks and not designing plays for him because they don't trust him. It's simple as that to me. They don't trust him to make the play.
I think they feel obligated because he's a first-rounder to show everybody, hey, we made the right pick with this guy. But they know. I mean, Vrabel's not stupid. He knows. And that,
And Tim Kelly's not stupid either.
No, he's not. I mean, put Chris Moore, NWI, or whomever else is in there to do that. But Burks, to me, is a non-topic. It's just it's like talking about the backup guard.
Sure.
It's just nothing.
Well, because here's the thing. What's the, already looking ahead to the offseason, the number one need for this team and the number two need for this team are offensive line. I think we all agree that. What's the number three need? Probably a receiver.
Yeah.
If Treylon Burks was that guy and Treylon Burks, they trusted him and Treylon Burks was making the plays, then you're probably not as worried about receiver. But you're worried about receiver because all you really have right now is DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, that's it. That's why the whole Burks discussion to me is a gigantic waste of time. We know what he is. He's injured. He doesn't play. He scares no one. And, again, I'd like him to come out there Sunday and show us all wrong. I'd love for him to show us all wrong. He's had ample opportunities. Yeah, it's just – it's nothing. I mean, I'd put Chris Moore in there or anybody else.
Andrew makes a really good point on the text line. Treylon is another one of those players that ain't it, but we will make excuses until we get sick of them. Burks, Malik, Mariota, Corey Davis, Adoree Jackson, folks like that, but they ain't that good.
Yeah, I mean, those were not wrong. There was some – bad draft. I mean, you go back and look, and Wilson and Farley. I mean, just some really, really bad picks that they got, and nobody to blame but themselves on all that. And you know, it's crazy. Had Isaiah Wilson, it's like we play that what if game, which is a lot of fun sometimes. Had Isaiah Wilson come in and really been a good, not all pro, but a good left tackle, man, that would have solved so many problems going forward. And then if Farley would have come in and been a nice shutdown corner, whatever position he was. And then Burks, you know, don't trade AJ. Yeah, we could do this all day long and keep going on and on and drive us insane.
And Amy in Arkansas makes a good point, too. Burks had two concussions where he was knocked unconscious in a year. He said after the game, that game Sunday, he doesn't even remember the Pittsburgh game. That is scary, not his fault. He's not pulling hamstrings. These are legit freak circumstances. He has had some hammy stuff. But, no, I agree. Look, you can't control concussions. And, you know,
But he was disappointing before.
Right.
That's the point.
That's the thing. And I appreciate the text, Amy. But that, like, we look at that and go, okay, well, that's not his fault. Okay, that's true. But he still was underperforming before that.
Well,
like, he still made some big drops. Like, I've seen, you know, whoever was at quarterback, whether it was Tannehill or Levis, mainly Tannehill, put the ball right in the numbers and he drops it.
Yeah. Gene says, I'll still go back to Monday night game, the long pass to Burks. It was a 50-50 ball and his effort sucked. He did not aggressively go after the ball. We even said that in the press box. It's like he didn't fight for that ball at all. And that's it. That's the effort you want to get. And that's the effort that drives receiver coaches and head coaches, but a receiver coach crazy because effort is something you can't control. And there was no effort on that ball than that. It's like, oh, I might go up and get it or not. But he's done that before, whenever it's not been there. Come back for a ball, go up hot for a ball, fight for a ball. And we haven't seen that from him.
Coming up next, we'll shift gears, get into some hockey with our man Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. He will join the show. In an effort to aid those affected by the tornadoes from this past weekend, the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee and the United Way of Greater Nashville have activated emergency relief funds. For more information on how you can donate, visit cfmt.org or thegamenashville.com. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5-106.3, The Game, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Let's talk some hockey with Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Joins us every Thursday at this time. Greg, good morning. What's up?
What's up with you? How's it going?
Doing fantastic. Really enjoyed the piece that you did yesterday on ESPN.com about Connor Ingram. Of course, the Coyotes goaltender spent several years in the Predators organization and had a couple of starts here in Nashville. But, you know, it's documented stuff he's been through. But for you to sit down with him and to tell his story, I thought was really cool.
It's a wild story. I mean, I had sort of known that he had dealt with the OCD thing and had kind of, which had gone undiagnosed for a long time. And in fact, it was the reason why he was considering quitting hockey at one point. But, you know, he was also dealing with depression. He was close with a lot of the Humboldt Broncos players that lost their lives in that bus accident. And then also, you know, had this entire ordeal in Sweden that I had almost forgotten about because it was during like COVID times of him being accused of fixing games, of fixing a game based on what ended up being one human error at a sports book and two, a Swedish media outlet thinking that they were talking to the general manager of his team. And it ended up being a wrong number.
Oh no.
So that was the part that was stunning. Connor gets into it in the piece that we did, but like this whole thing like swung on the fact that they thought they were texting with the GM of the team, and in fact they were texting with a wrong number who was playing along and saying things like, yeah, we sent him home because he was fixing games or some such. It's a crazy story.
Yeah, and I love when you do stories like this because I think it's important to learn more about, you know, we just see these guys playing hockey, but there's obviously a human side to them as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it was good to talk to him, good to tell a story, good to put the spotlight on a guy having a really good season, and just, you know, obviously story's only as good as the guy you're talking to, and Connor's a really well-liked guy. I was talking to some people yesterday that said that he's also one of their favorite social media follows. So good story there. And again, like the sort of the underlying thing of the whole thing is that he's a guy that was sort of bouncing around the American Hockey League, the ECHL. Obviously the Predators had him for a spell, and he was just one of these players kind of like Aiden Hill last year for the Golden Knights who, you know, you just wait on these guys sometimes. And sometimes it's the goalies that develop later in their careers. And Ingram himself said, you know, there's guys that come into the league at 21 and they're stars. And then there's guys like me that just kind of grind it out and then eventually get their chance. And he's a real good story.
Yeah. So check it out at ESPN.com. Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN. So Craig Berube joins the list of coaches that have been let go so far this year, three of them in total. Were you surprised by that the Blues decided to go ahead and make the move with them in a rebuild, or did it kind of make sense?
Well, it's like, so we have a coach's hot seat story on the site today. You could read it there. It's like checking the temperature for all 32 coaches. And originally, as I wrote it this week, Ruby was in that top category, the hottest of hot seats. So I either called it right or was a little bit too early with it because I had to remove him when he got fired. But, you know, he's clearly something was going to change in St. Louis. And, you know, the cap being what it is and the, you know, the trades being difficult to make for teams right now, Doug Armstrong, their GM, obviously isn't going to fire himself. So there had to be some change made, which means it's Berube taking the fall. I think that's a team that is, the problem is construction. It's not coaching. They are a team that's lost some pretty key character guys for the last couple of years, including, you know, trying to have a face-off with Alex Pietrangelo over a no-movement clause that had him glancing over at Vegas and eventually signing there, which I think is really what started the unraveling of the Blues. So, you know, somebody had to take the fall there. They're obviously not performing where Doug Armstrong believes they should be. But I think ultimately the problem with the team is Doug Armstrong. I think ultimately the problem with the team right now is the way that it's built, including a defense core that has a ton of no trade clauses, and really needs to be changed in a pretty dramatic way.
All right, Greg, spoke to you at the beginning of the season, and you had said you put down the Nashville Predators would make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we said, why? To get your thoughts about that, and you said they got a lot of great young talent mixed with some old talent. Andrew Brunette, coaching style is going to make it work. After kind of a sluggish start, it's all coming together. So I always go back to you that day talking about Brunette and the coaching style, how it will work with this team. So I got to give you a shout-out on that because this team is on fire, Greg.
They are. And obviously, as the season's gone on, UC Soros has gotten better, which I think has certainly helped them, you know, in the standings. And yeah, my optimism was that notion of like that having players that I thought Brunette was going to be able to activate offensively this season. You know, obviously there are some players that we knew were going to be good offensively, like Philip Forsberg, that have certainly really appreciated the style of hockey that they've been playing. So, you know, the West is an interesting place right now. You look at the standings and you say to yourself that there are a lot of teams that we expected to be in playoff spots that are there. I think Winnipeg might be the biggest surprise as far as teams that are playing extraordinarily well that we didn't expect. But, you know, being that the wild card was going to be pretty wide open, the fact that the Predators are right there in the mix is encouraging, and I hopefully they'll stay there.
I know you've been asked this a million times, but why wasn't Brunette considered for more or the opportunity to get more head coaching jobs? Because it's like hockey's like baseball. You recirculate the same managers and head coaches on and on and on and on. I mean, he's obviously his little stint with Florida a couple years ago was great. He's doing great now. I just don't know why he was overlooked by so many teams.
Well, you know, so the Florida thing was weird because you have to remember that he took over that team after Joel Quenneville had to resign, right? And so there was a notion of, okay, that's Quenneville's team. You know, it's a team that was put together for Joel. Joel coached that group for a couple of years. You know, the success that they had, the perception of some was definitely that Brunette was kind of there to keep them pointed in the right direction, but it was kind of like the work had been done by Quenneville before he had to resign. So he didn't necessarily get the credit he deserved, I think, for really doing a good job. And then the other problem with his stint in Florida is that, you know, he gets fired basically because he got completely outcoached in the playoffs. And again, it was his first year as a head coach. You got to give him a little leeway, but it was a pretty significant differentiation between him and the coaches that he faced in the playoffs. So then he goes to Jersey. He's an assistant there. They do great offensively with him on the bench, and I think that helped mend his reputation. But there was always going to be that notion of, like, is this guy better as an assistant? Is he going to be a good head coach? And luckily, Barry Trotz decided, no, this guy's a head coach, and he's going to be our head coach, and I think the results are there.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. And with the Predators right now sitting fourth in the Central Division, they're only 6 points back of Colorado, who's in first. I feel like that's probably all going to, as the season goes along, we're not even to the halfway point, going to shake itself out where Colorado probably rises as one of the better teams in the National Hockey League. But what do you think about how jumbled up the Central Division standings are right now?
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting that you don't have the Avs, or, you know, I think a lot of us thought it could be Dallas sort of running away with things. I think parity rules right now in the Western Conference. I mean, you even look at, like, the last 10 games for the leaders in these in the Central in particular, and it's kind of all over the map as far as no one really putting together a streak necessarily. So, you know, I think that we're all pretty confident that Colorado is going to be a playoff team. We're all pretty confident that Dallas is going to be a playoff team. And then after that, it gets kind of interesting, not only because of the way the Jets have played and the way that the Predators have played, but in the way that the Minnesota Wild had not played until they made the coaching change to John Hines and then kind of found their game again. So, you know, those two teams in the West that whose early struggles really kind of upended a lot of predictions, the Wild and the Oilers, you know, both those teams make coaching changes and both those teams start to kind of like move up the standings a little bit, and the playoff picture that we see now could be a shade different in a couple of weeks.
Do you think that in the Pacific, do you think Vancouver is legit?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like that was the other bold prediction I made about the standings that everybody mocked me for, was saying that Vancouver was going to be a playoff team. I remember going on the radio in Calgary and them treating me like I said, you know, aliens will land on December 14th. Like, They're like, this is insane that you think that Vancouver's going to make the playoffs. I'm like, dude, they're better than the Flames. Like, watch. And then they are. I mean, they're better than the Flames. They're better than a lot of teams in the Western Conference. And, you know, part of the reason I thought they'd be good is that Rick Tocchet was going to get a full run of training camp, get a real handle on his team, really put a stamp on what that team should do and how it should play. And right from the start of the season, like, he's benching guys, he's calling them soft, like, he's doing all the things that he wants to do to make this team what he wants this team to be. And the other thing is that the core of this team is just really good. Like, you know, Brock Besser having the goal-scoring season that he's having, if that guy's healthy, that's what he does. You know, Elias Pettersson's great. Quinn Hughes is going to maybe win the Norris this year. And you know, Thatcher Demko is, when he's on his game, one of the best goalies in the league. So, you know, they had a core of guys that I was confident could really perform if they're healthy, and they had a coach that I think could really kind of get them in the right direction. And they also made some pretty smart moves on the blue line too. So it all added up to them being good. And I'm not surprised they're doing as well as they are.
All right, Greg, I got one for you. Tell me what you think is the most worthless, useless stat in hockey. Because I go back to football. There's a stat in football about pressures on a quarterback. To me, that's just a dumb stat that we always talk about. What to you, what is the kind of the worst one in hockey that really means nothing?
Well, it's two, really. First off is that from a traditional stat standpoint, plus minus doesn't tell you anything. I mean, everyone who follows hockey knows the plus minus is a stat you glance at. You maybe get a little bit of a sense of how a guy's playing, but ultimately, you know, if I'm standing by the bench when a goal is scored, I get credit for being on the ice when a goal is scored, right? Like, I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing on the play, but I get credit for it. So that's the one stat that I think a lot of us point to. The other one I always kind of like side-eye is turnovers. If you look on the NHL website, you can kind of find eventually a page that gives you like takeaways, giveaways, things that like that. And the giveaway stat's always deceptive because a lot of that is you know, players trying to be aggressive and you know, outlet passes that don't connect and things of that nature. And you know, you could look at a guy, especially a defenseman, and say, well, this guy's a turnover machine, but it doesn't really tell you where the turnovers are happening or the nature of the giveaway. And I always felt that that was a little wonky. And then the third one, too, I mean, we should probably also acknowledge hits as being just a nonsensical stat. One, because if you're hit, you know, every coach will tell you if you're hitting somebody, it means you don't have the puck, which is bad. And then the other thing is, and this was always the case with this guy, Cal Clutterbuck on the Islanders, depending on the arena, you know, a hit might be worth one hit, a hit might be worth three hits.
You know, depends, I mean, on who's so like keeping the stat.
Clutterbuck would finish the season with, like, you know, 10 hits a game, and you're just like, what? And then you look at his stats at, like, the Nassau Coliseum, and it's like, oh, I understand. Now there's, like, a multiplier based on who's doing the stats in that building. So that stat's always been a little wonky, too.
Greg, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us here on the program. The stats are always
well, because you know, the nerd analytics now of all the things that are going on, and it just, the more things are out there to look at. And that's why, to me, the whole pressure. I mean, the whole goal is to sack the quarterback. I mean, a quarterback understands pressure. You can still deliver unless you're hitting the quarterback or sacking him. To me, that's just almost as dumb as targeting. No, the targeting, like from a quarterback to receiver, like he was targeted 12 times in the night. Tell me how many times he caught the ball.
Right.
Don't tell me how many times he got the ball thrown to him. I wonder how many times he caught the football.
Well, okay. Now I might disagree with you a little bit that, just because I think like for our Treylon Burks discussion, how much a guy was targeted also tells a story. Like, do they want to go to him?
I just want to know if he caught the ball.
Sure.
Did you catch the ball?
Sure, but Treylon was only targeted three times. He caught it one time. That shows me he's not a part of the game plan.
Like when you talk about Philip Forsberg, hey, how many minutes was he on the ice? Did he score or did he not score?
Right, but
how
again,
did he play?
That tells a part of the story.
Right, but still, give me the facts, man.
Okay.
I'm like Jack Webb. Is that his name from Dragnet? Maybe. Dr. Crane watches those old shows. He would know that.
Come again. I'm sorry. I was working on something
now,
here.
No,
He's working.
He is working.
He's working on ovens.
Just the facts, ma'am. That's all.
Getting my next house ready to go. There you go.
Tomorrow is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you'll win a pair of tickets to an upcoming home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Appreciate Greg Wyshynski for joining us. Delanie Walker, former Titans tight end, joining us at 10:15 today. Looking forward to catching up with number 82.
Our man Byron on the text line says, we're talking about Jack Webb, just the facts, man, from the old Dragnet. And he's like, my wife threw Bookham Dano out the other day out of nowhere, and we have never watched that show. You know what Bookham Dano is, right?
Yeah, that's Bookham Dano's Hawaii Five.
That a boy. I'm sure Dr. Crane knows because he spends his afternoon watching the old 70s TV shows.
Me TV, baby.
So Bookham Dano. All right, so I'm glad somebody knows what Bookham Dano is. So thank you very much. Yeah, and then Jack Webb. The Dragnet. Just the facts, man. All these great one-liners from shows back in the day. So thank you, Byron, for listening and for commenting on that as well.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
And we're still taking suggestions on Dr. Crane spent the afternoon. Dr. Crane, do you mind real quick telling people what you did yesterday afternoon that took 9 hours to do?
Yes, putting an oven door back on the hinges.
Putting an oven door back on the hinges because a piece of bagel bites had fallen through or something. What was it?
Part of the cheesecake, let's put it that way.
And it irritated you when you opened the oven?
Well, no, my mother was making the cheesecake. See, that's the thing.
Mamma mia!
Yeah, that too. Yes.
Do you do that too when she's cooking?
No, but there are some other
I can tell by his response to you that he's like, no, don't ever do that again, right?
It happens, okay? We do stuff like that, but not to that extent.
So she was cooking and the cheesecake found in there.
Yeah, a little bit of the cheesecake fell down and she ended up taking off the hinges, cleaning it out in the sink. And then, sure enough, trying to put it back on would never work. So
I have a follow-up on this, and I think it's a very important question.
Go ahead.
why am I just now learning that your mother makes cheesecake, and why haven't you brought any in?
It's a great question.
It's a great question, actually.
I probably should ask to say, hey, Mom, we cool with bringing some cheesecake?
We might need a cheesecake.
I will.
You can contribute that to the lunch that we owe Robbie and Rex Road and Keezer, who worked his way in.
That's a good point. What's your mom's go-to dish? I mean, you're Italian. Give me something. Man, what is it?
Go-to dish. She loves bolognese. My mom loves the bolognese with the pappardelle noodles.
Killing me, man.
They're the thick, long ones. They have a wide angle on them. It's more of a northern Italian dish. My family's not from the north in Italy, but my mom loves bolognese.
Okay. All right. So you spent a couple hours cleaning out the getting the food out of the glass?
Yes. It only took about like 30 seconds. The whole thing was like an hour and 30 minutes because it just took forever to get back on the hinges.
So we're going to start a company, and Dr. Crane's going to oven cleaning service. Not oven cleaning, but...
Oven repair, maybe?
Oven repair. No, yeah, you're not, because the oven works fine.
Right, it was fine. It just more like...
oven door, right?
Yeah, the oven door.
So we were taking a lot of suggestions earlier for names for your new company that we just started at 9:03 this morning for Dr. Crane coming over.
It's a side hustle.
Side hustle through that. What was the... Oven Lovin' was the one oven so lovin far.
That's
one.
That was a good one.
That's the winner. 615-737-1025. Nick, you're a good young man, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
You make the world a better place.
I appreciate that.
Good
both
attitude.
Of you as well.
Good attitude and getting the whole neighborhood together to come over and put the oven back on the hinges.
Shout out to Cliff, a good family friend of ours, a neighbor. He came to help. It was a whole ordeal.
Somebody's mad at us for cussing.
Nobody
is
cusses.
It you?
No, I don't cuss. Who is it?
I don't think we cuss. Did we?
We watch our profanity on this wonderful show.
No. Not we. No. If Oven Lovin's the cussing, then I apologize. On that. Text line are fantastic. Our buddy Harry Miller Henry weighed in again. And Harry Miller Henry, we love you because, again, you're showing maturity. Because you're not cussing anymore. He says, shots on goal is a useless stat. Only shots and goals matter. Preach! Preach, my brother, preach! Nobody cares how many shots on goal you had. Did they go in or not?
Right. No.
That's it. Oh, here we go, the contrarian. That's your wrestling name.
I'm not.
That's your wrestling name.
What? The contrarian?
The contrarian. You come out, with glasses on and a big notebook. Well, I'm going to disagree.
Okay, let me just be honest with you on something. When I'm doing the post-game show, these stats are nice to have.
I'm sure they are.
Because I sound smart when I give them out. Like, did you know that in 28 minutes of ice time, Philip Forsberg had 7 shots on goal and 2 of them went in?
Okay. Well, I get it.
That's what they're for. They're for me.
That's fine. I totally get understand that. Harry Miller Henry weighs in again. We're not going to use that one, though. But thanks for that one, for letting us know on that. Unhinged, Dr. Crane's own door cleaning service. Love it.
Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you for that one, too.
Great
as well.
Stuff, Tyler.
So we spend your afternoon cleaning ovens and watching MeTV.
6809 says the only staff that matters is wins and losses. Not stat, staff. That's your buddy.
That's right. Don't read his stuff. Do not read 6809 only more. Don't read that. But he's
0858, we're sorry for cussing, even though I don't think we did. But thanks.
Yo, that's the thing. I mean, nobody, like, all right, so last year, middle MTSU had like 4 or 5 one-score losses, right? You know, the other teams have one score. It's become a big stat, one score losses. And it's like, we were there. But the bottom line is, I mean, win the game. I mean, that's the tough part about that. You win the game, and, you were there towards the end. But, you know, I was 8-2 in one score losses. That's not an endearing stat. Also, I remember years ago I interviewed a guy from the National Sounds who was like 4 home runs away from being the all-time Sounds home run leader. And I said, what do you think about that? He said, do me a favor, never bring that up again. He goes, that's the last thing I want to be known for is being the home run leader for the National Sounds. And I was like, I totally, totally understand what you're talking about.
I totally get that too, for sure. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Delaney Walker coming up at 10:15. Moorhead chasing Big Joe. 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.